this week's Parshas Mishpatim. We're Parak Chaf Bet, Pasuk Chaf Zayin. The Pasuk says, Elohim lo tekalel v'nasim amcha lo taor. It's referring to rulers, not God, but don't curse your leaders, don't curse your judges, don't curse your rabbanim, your gedolim. Mele'adcha v'dimacha lo ta'acher b'or b'necha titen li. You shouldn't refrain or hold back from giving your trumos and or maisrot or all the wine that you have to donate. You shouldn't hold back from giving that, and you should be willing to give me your firstborn. So we have to understand what these mitzvot are. The Netziv has a comment that I want to focus on Elohim lo tekalel, and also on the v'chor banecha titen li that I want to focus on. So now we're on page 2 of your packet. He says, let's find the right part of it that I wanted to focus on. Let's start from the beginning. If it was only talking about just cursing, if it's just saying don't curse, why is it need to lashona? What are we saying? We're saying not only don't curse him, but don't denigrate it, don't besmirch it, don't make fun, don't mock it. Okay? When it comes to your gedolim and the Torah, that they espouse anything they do, you shouldn't make fun of it. I'm skipping a bit. Whoever is our leader gets the nickname Elohim here. Again, it's not talking about God, it's talking about people. Beteva ha'adam. It's human nature. Lahatil mum upagam bahanhagat chavero livzoto. We tend to mock and deride those in charge. Okay? This is human nature to mock our leaders. Be it Rabbanim and the Shul president, be it the national real president, the government. Okay? The people in charge tend to get mocked. Gazarat Shlomo and Sefer Mishnah, Yered Hashem Benim, Melech Mishamim, Al Ditara. Bero, Im Anashim Shem Mechashvim, Lishno Derech Hanagat HaMelech, Bo'ofen Acher, Al Ditara. Those who are trying to mock the king and find some other way, don't get involved in them. The Khan is here, Katur, Bekol Hanaga, Shmuchuna B'Shem Elokim, Shalot Tekalel. Whatever person's in charge, don't mock them. Don't curse them, definitely, but don't even mock them. Don't make them the butt of your jokes. Don't make them the form of your humor. Now let's go to page 4 of your packet. And what he says on Bechor Banecha Titen Li. Now, just to summarize the first part, the reason for this iser, and the reason for the double lashon, is that people tend to so easily mock the Rabbanim and the Gdolim and whoever's in charge. Because it's so natural, that's the reason for that iser, that we have to be extra careful. But look at the connection. After it says don't mock and don't curse, it says and don't refrain from giving your grain. And it says and give me your sons. So what's this mitzvah of giving your sons? And we don't literally take our sons and give them to them. So what are we talking about? So says the Netziv, Bechor Manecha Titen Li, Gam Bazeh Yesh Mitzvah Vavtacha. This is both a commandment and a promise. Actually, let's go back one. Let's start with the Dimacha. Says the Netziv, what's the Dimacha? Mle'adcha Dimacha. Dimacha is Devar Mashke Yain V'Shemen. You're going to have wine, you're going to have oil. Kol Zeh U'Pshat Makra, that's the Pasuk. Omenam Nechlal B'Kan Gam Haftacha. It's a promise. As it says in Midrash Rabbah, based on the connect, Mismichun HaMikra L'Zara Kedemet, as it connects to the previous Pasuk. Because you don't curse your leaders, because of that, you're not going to have a problem paying your dues. In other words, we're promising you wealth, financial stability. So you're going to have enough. You're going to be able to pay your tithes, and you're going to have enough if you're careful about not cursing the Rabbanim and the Gedolim and the leaders. Hainu shi'avo birkat atzvua b'zmano. Your food will grow on time. Mash'enkin lehebech, and it's the opposite, as the Netziv says later when we get to the Tochacha. Now, b'chor manecha titen li, gamba ze yesh mitzvah avtacha. Here there's both a mitzvah and a promise. Ha-mitzvah shi'av b'chor mufrash l'shem. Make sure you have the b'chor. He should dedicate his life to Torah. He should dedicate his life to Hashem. If you swear that he can only be a rabbi, so what? There's all sorts of halachas ramifications. What if he wants to go into some other profession? There's a whole mishnah that deals with that. The b'chor is meant for Hashem. This is all the more so before they had that the Kohen became the Shevet Levi rather than the Bechorah. Remember, before Cheda Egel, it used to be firstborn children were the ones who served Hashem and then became Shevet Levi. Again, a mitzvah shiyam ufrash l'dvar mavim l'idei kedusha v'yodi skula. What is this mitzvah? Separate yourself to involve yourself in activities that increase kedusha. To be a person who is going to leave a positive legacy. Gam havtacha. So that's the mitzvah. But what's the promise? Be'im lo tekalel elohim v'natzi lo tavor. If you don't curse the Rabbanim and the Shoftim and the Gedolim and our leaders, what are you going to get? You will end up with a child who's a leader. You will end up with a child who's a Talmud Chacham. You will end up with a child who is on path to be one of the Gedolim, all in reward for you not having cursed those, or denigrated, or besmirched any of those leaders. Your son will be one of the Anshei Mala. He will be one of the top people. He will be one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael. All in reward for you not denigrating the name of the Gedolim. And I don't have to tell you, I'm sure you know it from yourself, though I will mention one or two stories, how true this is. The people who are constantly mocking from people, and be it anybody they view as firmer than themselves, you know. Oh, the Charedim or the Hasidim, people are just constantly mocking the rabbi. Very often, it's not surprising that their kids go off the derech. This exists in so many areas. People saying, oh, Chazal or the rabbis are misogynistic or antiquated or he's closed-minded. Whatever names they're giving it, there are ramifications for it. There's a famous story, I think the Chavetz Chaim, but I don't know. Don't quote me on who it is, but it could be one of those fill-in-your-old Gadol stories. I don't know. But the famous story is that this person came to, I'm going to say it's the Chavetz Chaim, came to the Chavetz Chaim and said, my child is going off the derech, wants to intermarry, whatever it is. Can you speak to them? He said, I will try. He says, but let me tell you a story. Now, this is a story in a story. He says, this doctor is called to a town out in the boondocks far away. And he comes with his doctor bag, and on the way into town, he has to cross this bridge, and it's the middle of the night, and this person comes and attacks him, and in the struggle, the bag falls off the bridge into the river. So, okay, he's arrived in town now, but he doesn't have his doctor kit with all the medicine and all the bandages and whatever else he needs. All his tools. And he shows up at the house, and the person answers the door, says, yes, thank you, you're here to take care of my sick child. And he looks at the person who answers the door, and it was the person who attacked him on the bridge. And he says, you fool! The doctor bag that was going to save your kid's life, you attacked me and you took my ability away to use the doctor's bag to save your kid's life. It's in the river. I have no tools now to save your own child's life. How foolish for you. So said the Chavetz Chaim in the story, when you came home from Shul each Shabbos, did you insult the drasha of the rabbi? Did you mock his speech? Did you mock how his family was dressed? Did you mock the length of the speech? Did you insult from people, Gedolim, when you read in the newspaper that, he says you can't wear Crocs and Yom Kippur, and you make fun of it? Or were you respectful, understanding your place, the amount of Torah you know versus the amount of Torah the rabbi or the gadol knows? If you mocked me all those years, I don't have any tools to talk to this person to say, hey, we're from people, we don't intermarry. We're Jewish people, we don't marry Gentiles. You took away my tools. Just on a personal note, I remember about 13, 14 years ago when my grandfather passed away, I went to there wasn't Shiva because he died Erev Yom Kippur, but a few days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, I was sitting with my grandmother and some people did come to visit. And there was this elderly couple who came, and the whole conversation for like 20 minutes was one story after another of every frum person he knew who did something wrong. Oh, I was sitting at the bus stop yesterday, and there was this chassid eating sunflower seeds, and he was spinning them on the floor, and it was making a mess, and nobody's going to clean that up, and how inconsiderate of him, and on and on and on. At a certain point, I was kind of getting fed up, but I was still trying to be polite. So I said to him, wait, you told a lot of stories about rabbis or from people doing bad things. Do you have any stories about somebody doing something right? So he says, my rabbi. Oh, Baruch Hashem, yeah, there's a rabbi he likes. Tell me something your rabbi did. So he said, one time, I had to do something. There was a certain thing that came up in my life, business, whatever it was, and it was probably wrong to do, but I had to do it. And I went to talk to the rabbi, and he looked at me and gave me a look, which meant, you know you're doing something wrong. But he gave me a smile and said, why not? And instead of making me feel terrible for this thing I had to do, that was the good thing he could come up with. Okay, a few minutes later, he's back, the conversation went somewhere else, he's back to telling some other terrible thing that somebody did, and then he throws out, and that's why my kids aren't in frum, because look at all these role models of frum people, and every frum person, they see does all these bad things, why would they want to be frum? And I was, all of 19, so I didn't say anything, maybe 18, 19. But I was thinking it, and now I'm sure of it. No, your kids are not frum because of all the terrible things you saw frum people do. Your kids are not frum because you pointed them out and said it's because they were frum. And you constantly mentioned it, and you had a long list, enough to fill 20, 30 minutes of terrible stories, of terrible things frum people did. Yes, there are frum people who do wrong things. There are frum people doing things that you can deride and you can mock and scorn. That's true. But if you constantly point them out and you constantly mention it, then it's no surprise that your kid's going to end up not frum. It's no surprise that your kid is going to go off the derech if you constantly mock the Rabbanim and the Gedolim. So that's what the Netziv says. This is a mitzvah. It's counted in the minyan a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. And then it says, it's a mitzvah. Don't curse. Don't hold back in paying your dues on time. And give your son. It's a mitzvah. But at the same time, it's a haftacha. If you're careful to never mock or deride or scorn the Rabbanim and the Gdolim and the people in charge, there's no guarantees in life. There's no guarantees in life that your kid is going to end up from, even if you're careful with that. But it's a good, strong step. If constantly when you're talking about Rabbanim, you talk about them with reverence and respect and awe, and you don't constantly mention all the terrible things that any of them have ever done, that's the better step. That, in the Netziv's word, that's the avtacha, that you'll have at least one son will be the ish skula, will be the ish maila. You're on the best path to make sure one of your children ends up one of the gdol and one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael. We should all be zochah.